And welcome back. You're listening to the Union Edge Labor's Talk Radio. This is Nathan Ruggles sitting in here today for Charles Showalter. I have a couple thanks to send out to two of the many unions that support all the work we do here at the Union Edge. That includes the UFCW International as well as the Pennsylvania State Education Association, PSEA. Our thanks for their sponsorship. So we're proud to have back with us today from the District Sentinel, the two founders of the organization. With us today, the two reporters out of Washington, D.C., we have Sam Sachs. Sam, thanks for joining us.
Hey, Nathan. Good to be on.
And we have Sam Knight. Sam, thanks for joining us.
Hey, Nathan. Good to be on.
All right, guys. So I know we got a couple really important topics we're looking forward to talking with you guys about. So we've got the Federal Trade Commission has come out with a ruling, it sounds like, on the Amazon Whole Foods acquisition. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. Sam Sachs here talking. Whole Foods buyout, Amazon's $13.7 billion buyout of Whole Foods is pretty much going to go through at this point. Federal regulators said that there isn't any concerns about anti-competitive activity as a result of this merger. The FTC concluded that. That's despite concerns from consumers that already you have Amazon, which is the number one e-commerce company in the world, has five times more sales than number two, which is Apple. And now they're going to be acquiring 465 brick-and-mortar stores in Whole Foods, which will be able to bolster their supply chain already in the e-commerce market. Also, you have Amazon trying to break into the grocery delivery service and those meal kit services, a sort of burgeoning industry there, that Amazon will also be able to leverage with all these storefronts. So a lot of consumers were concerned, but the FTC determined that Amazon and Whole Foods weren't quite in direct competition with each other, so they're letting this deal go through.
Well, it's interesting because ever since Amazon launched this, I mean, they launched it to get into the grocery industry, right? And I wonder if you would look at the average consumer at Whole Foods versus the average Amazon Prime member, is there no overlap? Are they not competing for the same customers here?
Yeah, I mean, those are the questions that the consumer advocates have raised. And if you look at this deal also, there's concerns for unionized workers. I mean, here's two companies that have been aggressively anti-union. Amazon's been around since 1994. They resisted every attempt at unionizing in their warehouses. The most recent was back in Delaware in 2014 that they defeated. Whole Foods, also not a friend of unions. Their CEO, John Mackey, has said some pretty bad things about unions. One time I think he called them, compared them to having herpes. So you have the UFCW,
wow.
United. Yeah.
I missed that one.
Yeah.
Former Whole Foods employee here just wanted to note that it was not pleasant working for them from a labor empowerment standpoint.
But also, people who work at Whole Foods get decent pay. Cashiers who work there get decent pay. And you have Amazon, a tech company coming in that's probably looking to disrupt. And already you're seeing at grocery stores all over the replacement of cashiers with automatic tellers. So you can expect to see that ramp up at Whole Foods stores now as a result of this too. So a lot of labor concerns that come out of this as well, not just trust concerns and anti-competition concerns.
Well, we know that Amazon has done a lot to keep the wages low at those warehouses, certainly doing all they can to depress wages. So that's an understandable concern how this might impact all these Whole Foods employees at their 460 stores. And at what point does Amazon get so big that we have to start really talking seriously about monopoly, that we have to talk about when you have such a dominant force in the marketplace?
That's a good question. I think now would be a good time to start talking about that. I mean, they are dominating all these various sectors. I mean, e-sales comprise everything, and now they're getting into they're going to have brick-and-mortar grocery stores and the delivery kits and grocery delivery services, all this stuff. And what's funny about this is you have a president who hates Amazon right now. Trump is constantly on a tirade against Amazon, mainly because of the connections to the Washington Post, which are Jeff Bezos and his connections to the Washington Post, which is constantly reporting negatively on Trump. And yet, I guess he's not personally involved in this decision, but even he's not able to rein in the power of Amazon at this point.
And this isn't, we also have another FTC, Federal Trade Commission, decision that is pending as well, I understand, with the AT&T.
Yeah, this was the AT&T Time Warner merger, which has a lot of the same concerns that people. Now, this one is a little bit more shady, though I expect it'll probably be approved. But this is similar to trends you see where you have internet service providers buying up content creator companies because, you know, more people are going away from cable. So you want to have the people that are supplying the internet also supplying the content, make sure they have content to supply their users as well, which is changing the landscape of digital content in the same way that, you know, you could say that Amazon purchasing brick and mortar grocery stores might change the landscape of online grocery sales and home delivery services.
Well, we thank you for the update on that, and we'll definitely be keeping an eye on as these FTC decisions move forward. The other big story I know you guys have been keeping your eye on certainly is of particular concern for those of us. You know, we are produced here in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and Uber has a large presence here, and a lot of concerns here in this city as the relationship between Uber and the leadership of Pittsburgh has soured over time due to, well, count all the number of things that Uber has had issues with over the last year. So this is we have a labor dispute. We have their drivers. The NLRB, National Labor Relations Board, is involved here.
Yeah, that's right. The case is set to be argued again on September 20th before the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, or I should say continue. The NLRB has been given permission to argue on behalf of the workers, and this is basically one of the last shots that Dick Griffin, the Obama appointee, the general counsel at the NLRB, this will be one of his last shots to take at Uber, which has a very high interest in a Supreme Court case October 2nd about so-called forced arbitration clauses in contracts, which prevent workers from banding together to sue their employers, their bosses, when they're being abusive. And Uber came up in that very recently because Susan Fowler, who was on the tech side of things at Uber, she wrote the 3,000-word blog post detailing how Uber facilitated sexual harassment of women.
Yes.
She wrote an amicus brief in this Supreme Court case saying that Uber companies like Uber should not be allowed to prevent these collective lawsuits from going forward, and that such a move is prevented under the National Labor Relations Act, which, as you well know, guarantees rights for collective bargaining to improve one's conditions.
And this is incredibly significant. This is the difference between a single employee trying to challenge the fact that they're being treated as an independent contractor and
right.
Talking about the fact that they're being misclassified as an independent contractor instead of as an employee versus an entire group. We're talking over 200,000 drivers that would be part of the class action. Is that right?
I think so. But it is patently absurd that, these loopholes in labor laws that allow companies like Uber to consider employees as independent contractors, as if, you know, drivers sort of scraping by paycheck to paycheck are some sort of Randian entrepreneurs who are befitting of the independent contractor sort of classification.
And we're coming to the end here, but in a nutshell, can you tell us, Sam, as far as what does it mean as far as that independent contractor and employee difference? Define it for our listeners so they understand how significant
this
is.
Well, the employee is enumerated under the National Labor Relations Act. So if you are considered an employee of a company, then you have a lot more legal rights. Whereas if you aren't considered an employee of a company or considered an employee of a subcontractor of a corporation, then you have less ability to collectively bargain.
And in Uber's case, drivers would have access to overtime wages,
yep.
to getting some of the money they spend on their cars and gas reimbursed and things like that. So this would be a huge deal to how Uber operates as a business.
And if I'm not mistaken, I believe it's been successfully challenged in the UK in terms of how the workers are classified there. Well, we will be watching this very closely with the impact this would have across the country. We have reached the end of time, but it's great always talking with you guys. We have the two co-founders, reporters from the District Central, Sam Sachs. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, Nathan.
And Sam Knight, thanks for coming on as well. We appreciate you having
Thanks for
with
having
us
today.
Nathan. Very good. This is Nathan Ruggles here on the Union Edge Labor's Talk Radio. We'll be right back.